Adam P. Gilly from the Sydney Morning Herald. Can you believe that Cameron Munster's not going to the Tigers?
Jared, morning boys. If Clarkie made a pitch himself, he might have been a chance. I reckon he should have gone the blower, Clarkie, and sold the dream.
So, how would you have sold it?
What do you get offered from Melbourne? What do you get offered from Dolphins? We'll beat it.
All right.
That would have been the only conversation.
What about the barber?
Nah.
Barber,
free haircuts, doesn't care. Doesn't care. Have you seen Munster's hair? He doesn't care, mate. He doesn't care about free haircuts. Munster's old school. Munster's like going. Imagine going to Warnie and go, mate, we've got the greatest gym. We've got all the mod cons when it comes to technology. Warnie go, awesome. I'm definitely not going there. Munster's the same. You got to go, mate, free vodkas. We'll pay you more than everyone else.
X amount of days on the boat.
Yeah.
And, mate, you can use Sydney Harbour anytime you want, like, with your mates. Don't go selling a gym, a solarium, a hairdresser. Don't waste your breath.
Yeah, it's a huge call for the boys. I want to say, like, what happens to the Dolphins now? Like, I would have thought of all the players they were targeting the last sort of 12 months or so, I would have thought Cameron Munster would have been the one that was most likely to go. Obviously not for next year, but for 2024, but... Geez, they're in some serious trouble now, aren't they? I want to see them be competitive. I really do. But I can't see them finishing outside the bottom four next year, potentially the year after that. And the one thing I will say, and I have been critical a little bit of the NRL in this situation, and they announced the Dolphins as the expansion team. Probably was it midway through October last year? It was definitely in October last year. Probably only a couple of weeks before November 1, the November 1 trade period officially opened. And most people probably knew for about 2 or 3 months beforehand that it probably was going to be the Dolphins were going to be the expansion team. But they needed longer. They needed longer to be in the market, speaking to players, speaking to player managers. So once November 1 came, they could go bang, bang, bang. Here's our best. Here's our offers. Let's see what we can do. And it just seems like they've been caught on the hop here. And I know the NRL was banking on the Wayne Bennett factor to try and get them out of a bind and sign a few players, but it just hasn't happened, has it? So,
Adam, I was going to ask that. Is this not where the NRL... And I know, you know, you support other teams and you don't want favouritism, but if you're bringing a new team in, is this not where the NRL has to help? Has to even, you know, pay a tiny percentage to get that player over the line, if that's what it takes, or have the conversation to try and help schmooze someone like Munster to go to the Dolphins for, you know, trying to set that club up. Like, I just feel like it's okay to say you bring in another team, but it can't be an even playing field from day one.
Well, we've seen the AFL do it, Clarkie, haven't we, with GWS and the Suns.
So well.
They gave them priority draft picks and they've propped them up financially for so many years. And they still do to this day, right? They still prop them up financially. And they've helped those clubs establish themselves. They've had varying degrees of success. Obviously, we know GWS was quite good for a few years there. The Gold Coast, probably a different story. They haven't been a regular finals team. But you know what rugby league's like, Clarkie. Nothing rules more than self-interest. And if the NRL started giving some favours or priorities to the Dolphins, you know what's going to happen? Every other club's going to be blowing up. So
they still must have a lot of money to spend, though, Adam. And the problem is they won't be able to spend it on quality players.
They're going to be rich. Players, you're just not going to win.
Big name players, because you won't need to spend the amount of money to get those other players to your club.
Yeah, 100%, Loz. And I can see them playing underneath the salary cap by a fair amount next year. And they have to pay players to a certain amount. I'm not quite sure exactly what it is, but it's about 90 or 95% of the actual salary cap they've got to pay your players. So they won't be able to play under the salary cap by, say, $2 or $3 million next year if they can't sign players. They'll have to top it up somehow. But I just wonder if they start thinking about saying, okay, next year's going to be ridiculously hard. We know it's going to be like that. Let's just try and save as much money as we can in the salary cap next year and just try and front pay a few guys and get some more wriggle room.
That was my next question. How much can you save on one particular year to use for the following year?
Yeah, I should know the answer to this question, Loz, but I don't know it exactly off the top of my head.
About 10%, is it? Or 90%
like salary cap? There's an agreement in the CBA where they've got to pay 90 or 95% of the salary cap for that particular year. So they can save some of it, but they can't sort of play deliberately 20 or 30% underneath the salary cap. They've got to pay it to a certain amount so players are paid. But like, who are you paying? Like, who are you paying to fill up that salary cap for next year? They've still got 5 or 6 spots open at least for next year.
Well, that's what I mean. The players that are on the market, or they can get... whatever they pay them, it's not going to be a lot, I wouldn't have thought.
No.
So they're going to have plenty of money left to spend, but they, if you've got to spend it, how do you spend it?
Yeah, I honestly don't know, Loz. I just really don't know the answer to that question. I mean, and the other thing I want to raise is, look, you guys know, everyone loves a winner. We all love a winner. And it's to build a fan base, you need to have some, at least be competitive in the first couple of years. Like, how are they going to build a fan base if they're struggling in the first 2 or 3 years?
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it will be tough for them. It will be tough for them.
A bit of South Queensland crushes about it at the moment. Oh. Really is.
Did you say that out loud?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Manly. Help. How does this end? Doesn't sound like it's going to end well.
No. Jared, the way it's tracking at the moment, it doesn't end well for Des Hasler. So you see stories in the paper today in both the Telegraph and the Herald, the paper that I work for. Legal action threats from Des and his camp saying that, you know, over the rainbow jersey fiasco, and that didn't help him achieve his clauses he had in his contract to trigger an extension. Well, you guys can read between the lines. When they start talking about that, you know how this is going to end. I put it this way. I think Des is less chance of coaching Manly next year in 2023 than what he is coaching at the moment. If you held a gun to my head and said, what are the odds? And that's just the way it's tracking at the moment. It's getting very, very ugly. Scott Penn's back in the country to try and sort it out, but I'd be very surprised if Des Cousins was coaching round one next year, the way it's going at the moment. Things can change, obviously, but all the murmurs and the rumblings are that it's heading for a very ugly split.
If Des is not there, who is it then? Is it Seibold or is it Henne?
Seibold's a man that's been spoken about, Laws, that has got admirers within Manly, the club itself. I think Des and his management want Josh Henne to come and work with him next year, potentially take over in 2025, if that's the route they go down. That involves Des getting an extension for 2024. So, again, you're seeing the two sides position themselves with different ideas and philosophies about who's the right man for the job going forward. And they just can't seem to find common ground at the moment, can they? Which is quite sad because Des has meant a lot to that club at Manly for many, many years. And I would still argue, since his return to Manly, the 2 years they haven't made the finals, it's been down to one factor. That's Tom Trbojevic. To the 2 years that Tom has been out for most of the year, they haven't made the finals and they've struggled. And the year that he was up and going for most of the season, they were within 80 minutes of a grand final. So if you want to be really simplistic about it, that could be probably the major reason for their results in the last few years. But I know Manly looking at a much more all-encompassing sort of, I suppose, putting the Des's coach under the microscope to decide, well, where do we go from here?
I think we're all looking forward to the World Cup because it looks as though it's going to be more competitive than ever.
Yeah, I cannot wait for this World Cup, Loz. The Kangaroos flew out last night. They'd still be in transit at the moment. They won't be arriving in the UK till later tonight, our time. Doesn't give them a whole lot of lead-in time for their first game against Fiji next week. And just speaking to Mal Meninga briefly yesterday, it doesn't seem like he's going to play like an absolute rock-solid best 17 in their first game against Fiji.
No, he won't, mate. The discussions that I've had with Mal, he wants to give guys an opportunity to be in that number one side. He's looking at the quarterfinal is when he's going to pick his best 17.
Yeah, I think he's very mindful, Loz, and you know better than me, of the grand final players in particular. Coming out of that grand final on Sunday night, they've obviously had some fairly decent end-of-season celebrations for the last 3 days. And I would be surprised to see how many of Nathan Cleary, Isaiah Yeo, Liam Martin, Riga Kemal-Gillard plays in that first game. I'm not saying they all won't play, but I think Mal's just very conscious of trying to ease them back into their workload next week. And where they play in the first game or not, I'm not too sure. I did see Nathan Cleary very briefly there yesterday, and he did some media. He looked like he had a fairly good lash the last few days.
So he should. So he should.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on him. Good on him, Loz. He's had a great time the last few days, and he should have been soaked up and enjoyed every minute. And probably only the fact he had to fly out last night probably stopped those celebrations. So, but Fiji will no doubt be the hardest game, Loz, at the pool stage in that first match. But they should comfortably get through their group. And the only thing I'm disappointed about is they're probably in line to play New Zealand in the semi-finals. And I think both teams, to me, shape as the best two teams in the tournament. I'd love to see them play in the final.
Yeah, the market certainly indicates that. Now, racing and tomorrow, you're best at Randwick, as there will be a stewards inspection of the track this morning at some stage.
Yeah, what do you reckon, Jared? Do they bring the meeting forward by a couple of hours and try and start it early to avoid this rain later in the afternoon? I know it's not
a bad call.
Today, but
do whatever you can.
Yeah, because they've just got to get through it somehow. Mm. And tomorrow afternoon, especially mid-afternoon, looks absolutely hideous. Mm. So we'll try and get through the meeting. Best bet on the program, race 4, number 9, Willinga Beast in the Roman Consul. I've tried to keep it very simplistic. She's a horse that loves the wet. She's back in trip with the blinkers on. She's going to settle up near the speed somewhere in the first 2 or 3. Just hoping the Phillies division has got the edge over the Colts and Geldies in the 3-year-olds this season. So I'll side with her. Race 4, number 9, Willinga Beast, the best on the program.
Okay, Willinga Beast, race 4, number 9. That market's just updating, must be a scratching or two. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on. I was just thinking that could be good. Start at, like, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock. Bricky bets.
Not that early, Jared. I think 10:30 would be all right, wouldn't it? To get us going. Yeah. But I'm worried about what it's going to be like by 4 o'clock, 4:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. On you, mate. Have a good one.
See you, boys. Enjoy the weekend.